Let's turn in the Word of God to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. We're looking this evening at verses 16 through 20. Isaiah 1, verses 16 through 20. Let's pray to the Lord. Father, now as we come to hear You speak again, and to speak in the reading and the preaching of Your Word, give us the conscionable ears to hear, that we would believe what we hear, obey it, and live it out in our lives, and teach it to others, that we as the church might be built up in the faith and be granted salvation and the turning from our sins, even where we have broken covenant against You, Father. We ask that You would receive us once again for Christ's sake. And above all things, we pray that Your name would be given all praise and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. These are God's words. Wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Those are God's words. And you remember the sad, grieving words to hear if you're the covenant people of God, where the Lord had said, you are like unto Sodom, and also Gomorrah. The Lord referred to Judah, His people, like that. Verse 10. And they were likened unto such because they were filled with wickedness and they were judged, or going to be judged. And yet what was different with them compared to, let's say, Israel, the northern kingdom, was that there was a holy seed, a remnant, that the Lord saved from among the covenant people of Judah. And we learned last Lord's Day about their worship. Their worship the Lord loathed and rejected. Their prayers, we heard this morning, remembering this, their prayers He did not hear. And this was due to the fact that they continued to add things to His worship that He did not require, and because they did not have a heart full of faith in their worship, but a prideful, hypocritical heart, where they were merely going through the motions of what the Lord did command for His worship. They were there for themselves and not for the Lord. And so after the first 15 verses of this book, the news to Judah is that they're going to be judged. They are wicked. And the Lord doesn't accept their worship because it was what they have been offering wasn't what He required. And their hearts are hypocritical. So Judah's not in a good place, we would say, if we were saying it today. They're not in a good place at all. And so even after the last verse, verse 15, when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. The Lord comes, manifesting, showing forth His great and marvelous mercy by calling Judah, in our passage, calling Judah to repent. And that's the first point this evening, the mercy of His commandments. The mercy of His commandments. It says verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. If any of us were, and thankfully we're not, if any of us were God, we're not. But if any of us were, all of them, as we think of these commands, we would have never given these commands. These commands and all the commands for the people of God, all of them show forth the Lord's mercy to us. We would have never shown mercy. We would have only focused on bringing our vengeance upon the commandment breakers, our covenant breakers. And remember, friends, mercy, what mercy is. Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Not receiving what you deserve. And of course, Judah and all of us deserve the condemnation of God and the judgments of God forever. Judah does not deserve to hear God speak to them and call to them to repent of their sins. They don't deserve that. But it's the mercy of God. They deserve being left to themselves and judged through by Babylon. They deserve even more than that. They deserve immediate annihilation forever and ever. But that's not what they receive. Here it is, salvation offered to them once again. He calls them and speaks to them as sons, His covenant people. He speaks to them like that. That's mercy. Continuing to speak to them as His people, as His covenant children. The vast majority of the world at that time would have never heard the words of the Lord. They would have never heard the words here in verses 16 and following. To turn from their sins and be cleansed of them. And in verses 10 through 15, we just looked where Judah was breaking the first table of the law, the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments summarized in the greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now he calls them to repent of those summarized in the second great commandment, love thy neighbor as thyself. In the second table of the law. And so verses 16 and 17 gives us a really good indication of what repentance is. Repentance, at its most bare bones, down to the foundation of what it is at its root. We see it here in verse 16 that repentance is turning away from evil and sin. And He's calling, He's commanding the people, turn away from your evils and your sins. He says, verse 16, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. When we speak about repentance from our sins and faith in Jesus Christ, those really go together. And that's how they go together in the book we're studying, Sabbath School, because that's the way they are put together in Scripture. Faith and repentance. Repentance and faith go together. They're not the same thing, but they go together. Because repentance is turning from our sins, turning from wickedness, and turning away, turning around, and to go into the complete opposite direction of what you are going. You're going into the path of sin and the way of sin, and you need to turn completely around and go the opposite direction toward righteousness. And that's what repentance is. It's turning from your sins and your evil. In repentance, there is a complete change. There is a turning from evil in your thoughts. There is a turning from evil in your heart and in your desires and in your emotions. And that all turning your actions then. It's a turning away from sin with your whole person, body and soul. There's even an understanding here, as we'll see in a little bit, of our sins. All of our sins that we repent of, which we sinned against our neighbor. Those sins have to be understood as sins foremost against God Himself. And not our neighbor first and foremost. They're against, first and foremost, God Himself, that we would be all the more desirous then and move to turn from them, because we're sinning not just against our neighbor, we're sinning against the Holy God. We're not sinning against only those who perhaps have offended us. We have sinned against the one who's never offended us. Rightly. Right? The God who is always righteous and holy. We have offended the Lord. When we hurt our neighbor, we have offended the Lord. And you must repent of those sins before the Lord. And what does that mean? Often we think that means we confess our sins with our mouth, just our mouth. Often in the church throughout the world today, what repentance looks like or what it's thought of wrongly is we just confess with our mouth and we're good. We just go through the motions. And that's repentance. But repentance is not merely confessing our sins in prayer to the Lord, or even confessing our sins merely to our neighbor, but it's turning, it's actually turning from those sins and turning away from them. Right? Listen to Luke 3, John the Baptist speaking. He says, "O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. And begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Every tree therefore which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire." And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" He answereth and saith unto them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Then came also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, "Master, what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." And then Zacchaeus' repentance in Luke 19. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham." There's an actual, in other words, there's an actual real change that happens. And what the man does. It's not only what he does, it's in the heart, it's in the mind, it's in his desires and emotions, affections, but it's in what he does. It's not merely a thought that pops into your mind, nor based merely on a little guilt for doing wrong before God in which you feel terrible. That's not repentance. There must, though, be sorrow over your sin. But there must be a real turning from it, the actual sin. There must actually be a turning from the sin. He says here, verse 16, "Wash, cleanse, clean yourself, right? Put away, cease it. Don't do it anymore." Zacchaeus' saving faith is shown by the fruit of it in repentance, doing good, loving his neighbor, and making things right when he had taken from another. He says, "I restore him fourfold." He makes things right. And so Jesus names him a son of Abraham. So not only stop the sinning, repentance is not merely turning from the sin. There must be turning from sin, but there also must be faith in that turning from sin, because you need to turn to the Lord. That's repentance. Not only turning from your sin, but also turning to the Lord. And that includes, and must include, faith. Believing, trusting in Him. And that always produces fruit. Of actually loving the Lord. And that means loving your neighbor. Verse 17. "Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow." And so you see, repentance, a repentance towards the Lord that does not show fruit of that repentance and love towards our neighbor, who we come in contact with, that's not true repentance. You could think you have repentance towards the Lord, but showing no fruit towards your neighbor, that's not repentance. Faith and repentance works outwardly and serves. You see, even James 1 teaches us this. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Just as the Lord visits us, his people, in mercy and kindness, so we're called to visit the fatherless and the widow and to make sure they're being taken care of and their needs are being met. Verse 17, there are fruits of repentance. If you're turning to the Lord and love Him, these things will be the fruit that's produced in your life. These are the same and similar things we've heard recently in Matthew's Gospel. True repentance is shown when the lives we live are lived as before the face of God, and to live towards our neighbor as before Almighty God. He says in verse 16, put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes, before the eyes of Jehovah. These evil things you have done against your neighbor are before mine eyes. Verse 15, your hands are bloody. And he sees, Jehovah sees, you've done this before my sight. Put that away, for you have done this before the eyes of the Lord. All that you do is before the eyes of the Lord with whom we have to do. In verse 17, he says, learn to do well. Not as the hypocrites, as we heard this morning, not as the Pharisees, who pretend holiness, but actually be in the school of doing well, of doing good, of doing that which is godly and holy. Be in the school of doing well. Study diligently and do it. Do it before the face of God. Do it by the grace of God. But do it before His face. As we've heard this morning and we heard last Lord's Day in Matthew's Gospel, we do what we do before the face of God. We do it in faith. Not so others can see us, but so that the Lord will see us. And He would receive all the glory and praise. He says here, seek judgment. Seek to practice, in other words, seek to practice righteousness before all. But also in all your dealings, do not have respect for persons, or have bias. Do justice, he says. He says, thirdly, relieve the oppressed. When there are people who have wrong done to them, as best you're able, seek to make things right. Relieve them of the oppression. Step in and stop it if they're in the midst of being oppressed. Judge the fatherless, he says. Judge the fatherless. Bring about justice. Practice righteousness for those who have no one to take care of them, who are children, who are widows, who have no husbands anymore, no one to take care of them. Plead for justice for the widow. Practice righteousness before her, because she also has no one to take care of her and defend her. And so you defend. There are many in our day and their day who take advantage of the widow. We are to do the opposite. We're not to take advantage of her or the fatherless or the oppressed. We are to help them. By the grace of God. So what mercy our Lord shows to Judah, the covenant people, what mercy it is from the Lord when He calls here the same and other times to them to repent of their sins. Only a merciful God would withhold His judgment for a time, call a people to repent, command them to repent and turn to Him by faith, and bring those people to Himself so that there was a remnant, a holy seed, remaining in Judah amongst the covenant people of God. And you are saying and responding to this, but we have been taught that we cannot repent unless the Lord grants us the grace of repentance. That's very true. Very true. 2 Timothy 2. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance the acknowledging of the truth. If God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil who are taken captive by him at his will. It is God who gives repentance. Well, if it's only God who can give repentance, so that truth is known and believed, if only He gives it, then how can He command it? Acts 17 says, "In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised Him from the dead." How can He command repentance if He is the only one who can give it? That we can't have repentance unless He gives it. We can't obey the command unless He gives it. How can He command repentance if He's the only one who gives it? Because that's how merciful He is. That's how merciful He is. It is freely offered to you, to everyone, to who hears. To come and repent, He says. But we come to the conclusion that the Lord can't command that which He alone can bring about. That's what we conclude. But He's the Lord. And because we are fallen in our sins, of course He alone can grant it to us, the grace of repentance. Of course He alone can do it, but at the same time He's still the Lord. And so He commands you to it. He commands you to it. That you would not be comfortable in just knowing that He gives it. He commands it. Well, how does He command it? He commands what is good because it's good. He does the same thing with faith. How can you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation when we know it's only by His sovereign mercy and His grace unto you, giving you the gift of faith, that one can believe unto salvation and repent of their sins? It's the same thing as repentance. And He commands faith too. How merciful is our God to communicate His righteousness and holiness to us by commanding us to repent, so that we know if we do not repent, then we will be judged. And if we do repent, then we will have life, because He promises us life. Repentance unto life, right? And that is by faith, the gift of faith and the gift of repentance unto life. How merciful that our God to sinners grants the grace to repent. Because without the Lord's mercy and without His grace and the giving of the gift of repentance, the sinner would remain in their sins and be judged. But because He grants His grace of repentance unto life, the sinner is enabled to repent and obey God. And so we praise the Lord for His mercy, the mercy of His commandments, and hear the command to repent. The second point this evening, the grace of His commandments. The grace of His commandments. See verse 18. It says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Many of you know that verse. I've heard it before. You know it has to do with the gospel. You know it has to do with the good news of Jesus Christ offered to you. How blessed we are to hear the Lord's call, to hear the command, "Come now." He's calling out wisdom to them, offering them counsel. "Look, you Judah and you church, and in your sin, you Judah have offended me, Jehovah. But I am not like the stereotypical, you know, worldly stereotypical wife." Hope this is none of you. When their husband badly messes up and the stereotypical worldly wife says, "Well, you just have to figure out for yourself what you did wrong." No, our God is gracious in His commands. "Come now, I am offering you counsel for your good." He doesn't leave us in the dark. That's how gracious He is. Our God is gracious in His commands. "Come now, I'm offering you counsel." This is for your good. That's how this phrase is often used in the Scriptures when it's used other places. This is for your good. Come now. And since it comes here from the Lord, the call must be heeded. It, of course, has to be good because it comes from the Lord, but it must be heeded. It's a command. We have to obey it. Come now and let us reason together. Let us reason together. He's calling His covenant people who have turned from Him, who need to repent, who have rejected and rebelled against Him. He's calling to them. And He's calling to them by His grace. He's not calling them to come together with Him to have a sit-down talk and let's argue and debate and see who's right. He's God. He's right. He's coming to call you, to call you, that you would listen to the all-wise God and take counsel. Consider now if I accuse you without cause. That's what he's saying. Consider now if I accuse you without cause. Look at your rebellious nature. You see in verses 19 and 20, it is going to show this, but look, Judah, look, church, look, Christian. You have life and death. Good and evil are thus set before you. Consider that when considering what I am calling you to in repentance and faith. While your hands are full of blood, verse 15, I will have nothing to do with you. Even if you continue to bring me a multitude of sacrifices. That's what we heard last Lord's Day. But if you wash, if you make yourselves clean, verse 16, you are welcome to draw near unto me. So come now. Come now and let us talk this matter over. Look and hear the counsel of the Lord. Those and those only that turn from their commitment to sin, and they turn unto the Lord from their commitment to sin, shall be welcome into covenant and communion with God. James 4 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The Lord says in Ezekiel 18, yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? I can't be, he's like saying, come, let us reason together. I cannot be unequal. All my ways are equal and yours are all unequal. You see, the Lord has reason on His side. And there's all the reason in the world why we should do as the Lord God would have us to do. The God of heaven condescends to reason the case with those that contradict Him and find fault with His proceedings. But He will be justified when He speaks. David said, we sang this. David says in Psalm 51, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. When the Lord speaks, He is justified. He's right. God knows. Here. He shows here upon what terms they stood. And then leaves it to them to judge whether or not those terms are acceptable and reasonable. And here He is, verse 18, declaring to them not only their sin and the punishment of their sin if they continue in it, but then He shows them by His grace the way to be delivered. God's people today, it's the same. Lord doesn't change. The Lord is declaring to you His readiness to forgive you of your sins. If He says it to those who are covenant breakers, then friends, today, all of you here today, He says it to you. And offers to you His grace to come unto Him and consider who Jehovah is. And He's merciful. He's gracious. And He offers your forgiveness. You forgiveness of sins. Pardon of your sins. By the blood of Jesus Christ and the good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel. In Acts we learn the gospel went to the Jews predominantly. And then because the Jews' rebellion like Judah, Because of Jews' rebellion, the Lord sent the message of the gospel to the Gentiles in abundance. And in Acts 13 it says, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you,'" to the Jews, "'but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth.' And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." And so there you see the sovereign grace of the Lord in election. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. But the difference is between those who believe and those who don't. Those who do believe and repent, and those who don't. But notice, he shows us there that we just read in Acts, the general call going out to many, even to the Jews who did not believe and repent. The good news of the gospel was sent to those who did not believe. And it was sent to those who did believe, who were ordained unto eternal life to believe. The Lord is so gracious in His call and command to them to repent and believe. He shows them His promise. He's doing this to Judah, not just in Acts. He's giving them the promise of the gospel. And if they would just repent and believe, here's His promise, and He will always be faithful to that promise. He never fails in keeping His promises. For all who would obey Jehovah in faith and repentance, this is the promise. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Their hands, verse 15, their hands were full of blood. Their sins were as scarlet, red, blood red. They were exceedingly guilty. Many of them even shed blood. In that verse 15, he's saying here, even as your sins are so very great, you are exceedingly and abundantly sinners. And therefore exceedingly and abundantly guilty before me, Jehovah. But here, come now. You see, there is a way of forgiveness. That's His grace. You see, there is a way of forgiveness. There is a way for your sins to be pardoned. For you to be washed. For you to be made clean. He's saying this to the covenant breakers of Judah. And to us today. What is set before you and offered to you is deliverance from judgment. How can I be truly forgiven like this then? Through Jesus Christ. 1 John 1, it says, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us." And so, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, faithful to His promises. Just to forgive great sins. A multitude, an innumerable amount of sins, because those same sins are condemned in Christ Jesus' body there on the tree. The penalty for your sin is still there. And the penalty is paid for in Jesus if you come to Him by faith and repentance. Jesus is the just and the justifier of all those who believe on Him. And so He's saying here, come. Come and talk to God about your sins. Your horrible, heinous sins and the great number of sins that you've committed. Have you ever spoken to the Lord in prayer about your sins? Your sins have offended the Lord who is holy. And yet the same Lord says by His grace, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." The way to be delivered is to be forgiven, to have your sins pardoned. And that can only happen if you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and repentance. Turning from your sins. And that similar word picture to communicate the same thing. He repeats it with a similar word picture. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool, that is white or clean. If you want cleansed, Jesus can cleanse you. And He offers you Himself here this evening. That's the good news. He can wash you by His blood. That's His grace offered to you in the gospel. Not just offered, He commands it. It's not just offered to you, He commands you to believe on Him and to repent of your sins. He says here, come now and let us reason together. Verse 19, it says, if you be willing and obedient to the command, if ye be willing and obedient, yet ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Those are the conditional promises and threats. Now our God doesn't change. He still makes those conditional promises and threats today. But mind you, He is always faithful to His promises. If you're willing and obedient, you see the come now in verse 18, the call to repentance, even as it is only that which can be granted by the Lord, by His mercy and His grace. The Lord puts it here still on Judah, on you, the church today, on you, Christian, on you, friend. You must be willing and you must obey Him. You must be willing and you must obey Him. If you're willing and if you're obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Blessings. If you refuse and if you rebel, see it is in your heart and your action, will and your action of your desires. If you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword. He says again, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sins, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. That's 1 John. That's New Testament. This is part of the New Covenant. It's not just the Old where He has promises of blessings and curses. It's not just the Old Testament where you find that He commands and if you disobey, then you'll be cursed. It's in the New Testament too. And so you see, wrapped up in the promises here from the Lord, these conditional promises, you find this command. You must be willing and obedient to come unto Him and believe. And the command comes, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, you and your house. Right? The promises are the same for you and your household. The promises are, to receive them you must believe and you must repent. And if you do believe and you repent of your sins, you turn from them to the Lord in faith, then you'll be saved. And everybody who does that, even in your house, will be saved. But this is conditional. John 3. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, here's the conditional promise, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not, here's the curses, is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. God's grace, friends, is offered to you today. And with these last two verses, declare unto you, these last two verses, declare unto you in their conditional promises, what we see there are that those who turn today unto the Lord in Christ Jesus from their sins, to be saved from their sins by Him alone, they will be blessed. They will be blessed with the possession of the land that was imperfect on earth, and yet as well foreshadowed communion and all good things to come in the new heavens and new earth. But if this is refused, if today you refuse the Lord's promise from your heart and you rebel against the Lord in your actions, then you will be devoured in judgment, curses. The life that is to come in the new heavens and the new earth where righteousness dwells. You will not have all good things there. You will not have that if you rebel and refuse the Lord. That's where Jesus is to commune with His people. But you will not have it if you refuse His command to repent and believe. If you refuse and rebel. The first generation covenant breakers coming out of Egypt, they didn't enter into the land. They didn't get it. You see, the Lord is not a liar. He cannot be. His promises are true. He's always faithful to them. He's faithful to these here that we've read this evening. He calls to you, even from Psalm 95, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, that they should not enter into my rest. Here he calls unto each one of us. Come now and let us reason together. He calls out to us. Wash you. Make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Do you hear his call? And then he says here, do not harden your heart. Listen and obey my voice, and you will enter into my rest. That's his grace offered to you. Today, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Come, sinner, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, he says. This is his mercy. This is his grace, and he gives that mercy, and he gives that grace to you, offers it to you, by commanding you. He is so zealous for you to be saved that he commands you to do it. He doesn't just say, well, if you do this, you'll be saved. He commands you to it. He speaks to his covenant people and calls them and offers them the way of salvation. And then we learn later, Jesus says of himself, if we are to have that salvation, that he's the way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so here's the call. If you are to be washed and cleansed, to put away evil from you, to cease to do evil, to do well, all these things, verse 17. If you want your sins that are as scarlet, if you want them to be as white as snow, cleansed fully, that you could enter into glory, into heaven, holy. And he says, come to the Father through me, in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful once again for your mercy and your grace, the mercy and the grace that you command us. And we're thankful that you are the God who commands. And you show us exactly what we need to do. And yet we can't do it of ourselves. We acknowledge that and we know that. We pray that you would pour forth your mercy and pour forth your grace, even by your Spirit. And effectually call all whom you have sovereignly ordained to everlasting life and cause them to believe and turn from their sins. We pray that that would be true of each one of us here today for ourselves, as we think of ourselves personally. Father, we may be in some heinous sin or just complacent and comfortable with our sin. Father, thankful for your mercy and your grace. Keep commanding us to turn from it. And grant us the grace by your Spirit to turn and to put it to death. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.